Oh, okay. We're starting. Okay.
Yep, we start.
No, we're just hanging out. Justin,
chilling.
Hello, and welcome to the Cult TV Club. Today we're having a chill episode where Justin's just sitting back and relaxing.
Yeah,
oh my god. Talking.
My name's Baylor, and this is Angus.
Yes,
apparently.
Sorry, Jeanette.
I couldn't see your eye.
You're Justin.
Mackenzie.
Lisa.
And Cassandra, I think. No, okay, the context
I'm not used to usually Justin says their name and we say hello. I said my name and I went, that felt really weird rolling off my tongue when I had to say it.
It's also
not used to saying my own name.
Yeah. And now you're supposed to do the...
The joke of the episode. Yeah, but I couldn't remember what we were doing.
Yeah. So. And,
the person behind the mask is...
Justin. And I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for those meddling kids.
Yeah.
Start again. Oh, I thought we were doing so well. Okay. Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're here with Jeanette.
I've already said hello.
Not in this timeline.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hello, my name's actually Justin.
Oh, I've been disguising all along. Cassandra.
Hey.
Lisa.
I think we're in the darkest timeline right now. I don't know what's going on.
And Mackenzie.
Skibby dooby doo, where are you?
Yay!
Someone had to do Lisa's bloody job.
We're watching Scooby-Doo, and we're actually watching a Scooby-Doo Where Are You, which is the very first series of Scooby-Doo.
So what time period are we
1969.
Oh, wow. Because I assumed it was...
1960.
Yeah. Yes. I assumed it was really a bit later, but it was early 70s.
Yeah.
But I
thought it was 90s.
Oh, no.
They just kept rebooting it.
Yeah, and be doing the rerunning.
So there were a few choices of episodes for this, but I went for one that was sort of... really representative of Scooby-Doo those early days, and it's called A Gaggle of Galloping Ghosts, episode 11 from season 1.
So is this the season you watched when you were young?
It probably would have been, yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Angus, have you ever watched Scooby-Doo?
I watched the Harvey Birdman episode. But otherwise, I've seen the live-action movies.
Those look actually objectively great.
Jeanette, have you ever watched Scooby-Doo?
Like Angus, I've seen the Harvey Birdman episode, which was good. I enjoyed. And I watched the live-action movies.
The live-action movies. How many of the movies have you seen?
Two.
I think it's two.
Yeah. It's two.
Yeah.
You've seen both of them?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But not
I never.
The original TV series.
Yeah.
The one with... Mr. Bean with Rowan Atkinson.
That was the first.
The first movie.
As Scrappy Doo,
which was it was filmed in the Gold Coast, I think, wasn't it? Filmed in Australia. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Baylor, have you ever watched Scooby Doo before?
Yes,
of course.
It's amazing. It's so good. I always wanted to be Velma.
He didn't.
Yeah. I also fell in love with Fred in the movies. I've watched the TV shows.
Fred,
when he does the whole jousting thing on his motorbike from the show.
Oh, yeah, in the same movie.
Yeah, and the song kicks in. Can't remember what it's called, but I listen to it all the time because I love it so much. I just think of Fred. He inspired my love of himbos.
Ah, yes.
Oh, my God. Love me a good blonde boy that's just a bimbo. Oh, amazing.
Cassandra, same reason?
No, I'm actually going to say I haven't seen... I've seen the memes and the cultural zeitgeist around it, but I haven't actually seen the original show. I'm not
No!
I think I might have maybe one episode or two. I've not seen the series officially, no.
Wow!
I'm very familiar with the characters because of the way they've been changed and the way that the fandoms responded to them and the fact that in some ways the characters are archetypes of stuff and the way they've been represented... In fan fiction, in...
Fan fiction isn't great to go off of. People are going with the fact that they are...
A polycule.
I love.
Yeah.
That works so well for them.
But yeah, just the fact that, like, the way they've been portrayed in media since then, like, I'm very familiar with the characters, but I've not actually seen an actual episode of them.
So to me, Saturday morning cartoons was dominated by Hanna-Barbera. for me. Totally. In the 80s, it was pretty much you'd get up at whatever time in the morning and you'd be watching Hanna-Barbera cartoons all the way up to midday. It would either be that or then you'd have your Saturday morning Disney, which would be your DuckTales and your Chippendale and whatever. So I grew up with Scooby-Doo. I'm really excited you're doing a really early episode because the ones that I remember as a kid all had Scrappy-Doo in it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I even know Scrappy's the worst.
Oh,
everybody hated Scrappy.
And I just looked it up. He didn't come on board until 1979, and that was a last ditch attempt to try and reinvigorate the series. And oh my god, I hated him so much.
I think everybody did.
Yeah, and I love that in the movies they actually brought that in as a thing. That,
as
like,
the villain.
Yeah, it's like, yes, I feel this.
But that's just a thing in a lot of media, like a lot of old shows around the 80s used to love adding that
annoying character
archetype.
The annoying Steve Urkel.
It's always been absolutely awful.
Yeah. And I don't know why it worked. Because it never worked when I was a kid. You just used to just want to draw the thing.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what the reasoning would have been, but it could have been to imitate anime.
But in the 70s, though?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You still had the young, I'm so high-pitched! Annoying and stuff.
Yeah. No, this wasn't what they got. This was like almost like a little superhero character. Yeah,
But in manga, because I've read the manga for Berserk. I didn't only watch it. And in the anime, they didn't add a particular character called Puck. But in the manga, they had Puck, which was like this little elf creature. And they were the most annoying character possible.
So basically, you wanted to hit them with a fucking stick.
So it was that type of thing. Because in Flintstones, they had the Great Gazoo, which was like an alien that had come from the future to, or come from another planet to examine the Flintstones. They all kind of had that type of thing that would come in, and I don't...
And Berserk was so... It was such a dark story and so bleak and violent and stuff. And then they've just got this weird little elf character flying around with a daffodil flower just bopping people on the head. And it's like, what are you doing here?
Why are you
It's
doing
completely off-tone from everything else, but it's so common.
Admittedly, I'm not going to read the wiki about this. I'll just go with the AI overview for this. Thank you, AI.
So what does ChatGPT say about
it? Okay, so Scrappy-Doo was created by Hanna-Barbera Productions in 1979 with his introduction aimed at boosting the ratings for Scooby-Doo cartoon series. Initially, the character was voiced by Lenny, but Don Messick, who also voiced Scooby-Doo, took over the role in 1980. Mm. So he was literally just put in to boost those ratings, and I think that he didn't.
Yeah.
Just talking about voice actors, most of them only really did Scooby-Doo or other Hanna-Barbera stuff, but the exception out of that was Casey Kasem.
Oh, yes!
Who went on to do the US Top 40 for years.
Yes, that's where I knew him from, and I didn't realise he was
Shaggy.
I
didn't realise it at all, but he's Shaggy.
Yeah, for decades. Yeah.
You know what? That happened at about the same time that they did Muppets Babies. Bringing in Scrappy-Doo.
No, that was a good 5 or 6 years later.
It was 5 years
No, but that
later.
Was still in that sort of era of creating infantiles of everything.
Yeah.
Like, it was a fad.
Well, the Muppet Babies was a spin-off based off of a scene in Muppets Take Manhattan.
Well, it was 1984 versus 1979.
Yeah.
So it's five years out.
Yeah.
But that's still close enough for that to be fad-worthy.
Yeah, maybe.
It could have kicked it off. But
existed
but
always.
Scrappy-Doo wasn't a baby character.
Yeah.
No. It was this kind of the runt.
Over-enthusiastic runt. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another cartoon that used to be like that. Was it the dog? And you'd have the little dog going, let me at him, you know, and you'd have to hold him back type of thing. It's like that type
that
of thing.
Was
that Huckleberry Hound or something?
No, I think it was from the Looney Tunes.
It was in the Looney Tunes series. It was Butch, the bulldog.
That's it, the dog.
And there was a little dog that was always going, let me at him, let me at him.
That's the one.
But that was also how they portrayed Scrappy-Doo in that.
That's what
it was exactly the same.
That's what Scrappy-Doo. It wasn't like a babyish character. It was the runt that was trying to kind of
juxtaposition between little dog, big dog. So
it was little dog energy,
soft big dog.
And Scooby-Doo was cowardly and kind of lazy, and whereas this guy was like up and at him type of Mighty Mouse character.
Yeah. And it's just the little dog energy characters are just the worst.
Yeah.
And they're all like massive ego and just...
So apparently...
That's so annoying.
He didn't appear in the revamp Mystery Gang in the 2000s, and instead it was noted, like an offhand comment, that he was put to sleep.
Heavily implied he was, at any rate.
Is that the Hanna-Barbera version Poochie never made it back to his planet?
Oh, no. So, this is the Court TV Club where we're discussing the history of Scrappy Doo.
So, really, Scrappy Doo isn't going to enter into this conversation.
No, we're editing all this out.
He did exactly what he did in the TV shows and even in the movies. He just... He's angered there now. People.
Came in,
and angered people and left a sour taste in their mouth that they still won't forgive to this day.
But I'm with you, Baylor, the Velma love in this. I grew up and I went,
something about a smart girl.
Yeah.
In an orange outfit that ends up all over my Instagram feed of just not safe for work content. It's just Velma cosplays. And I'm like, I'm not against it, but at the same time... Why is this still a big thing? I'm so surprised at how this has carried on for the longest time.
It's just endlessly in new stuff in popular culture. Vampire Diaries, Monsters Unleashed movies, Batman episodes, all sorts of things.
It's become a cultural icon.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm really excited for those who've never seen it to actually go back to basics and watch an early episode.
The TV series Supernatural had a crossover episode where they went into the Scooby-Doo universe. He was hunting Velma, but Velma, of course, had no idea what they're talking about. You know, the characters are non-asexual entirely, and of course in come the characters from Supernatural trying to flirt and stuff, and it's just totally over their heads.
Wasn't Supernatural the bad one that was...
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Sanctuary.
Supernatural's the series that lasted 15 years.
Supernatural's the other bad one.
And wasn't the gang from Buffy called the Scoobies?
Yeah.
In parallel with the Scooby-Doo gang?
Yeah.
But there was lots of innuendos as well, which I'm really curious to see whether that's... alluded to in the old school ones, but it was always Shaggy and Scooby-Doo eating their Scooby snacks and that was tripping
they were really trying to avoid, I mean, superhero shows were on at the time and they were always violent, so they were trying to make a non-violent thing that the parents' associations couldn't complain about and things like that. And so that was sort of part of the reasoning behind it.
And I think by the time it got to the 80s when I was watching it, there was all these kind of illusions that the kids wouldn't get and the adults would kind of go,
you know, I don't think they would have gone away with that so easily, but we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, we'd be curious to see what it was like. And you said 69?
69.
69, so this is going to be interesting. So and McKenzie, the quality of graphics.
Have you watched any Scooby-Doo?
Yes, but they're all like 2001,
right?
Have you or do you just watched the cartoon Scoob or something that was on Netflix, or have you actually watched Scooby-Doo?
I've watched the movie and I've also watched a little bit of an episode, so I have watched it. I know about it.
You know the characters?
Kinda. I know two of the characters' names and I know all of them by looks.
Was it the animated movie or the live action movie that you saw?
Animated movie, but I think I saw one of the live-action movies.
So who are the two characters you can remember?
Scooby-Doo and Velma.
And Shaggy, of course,
Do you remember what the other two are called?
I'm not sure, but I know I covered
one just beforehand.
I know, but I don't know their name now.
No.
That's okay.
I know
that's
what he looks like.
Okay, you were mentioning earlier the cartoon, I guess the drawing... And the representation of, you know, how well the animation was.
Because I feel like a lot of it would be the same, but the evolution of the graphics from the 60s versus the ones I grew up in the 80s. And
So I actually looked this up because it's one of the things that I really like to talk about, especially with old cartoon styles. It's limited animation. So it means that characters and backgrounds weren't fully drawn in every frame. And they used techniques like repeating backgrounds that only animating the essential parts of the characters' movements, like their heads, mouths, and this cartoon style common in Saturday morning cartoons. It was cost effective but gave the show a distinctive look that may be considered iconic. And this look still goes into media today, like the first season of the Vos Machina's Mighty Nein. That was really big that they used, but it's still used in a lot of American imitated anime as well, just cutting corners and things like that. And along with a lot of old Justice League, well, not old Justice League, but definitely Justice League stuff as well. They don't always animate every single little part, which is both interesting and room for improvement.
And I think Hanna-Barbera were really known for this. Like, there's the classic thing where you'd have the Fred Flintstone in his little car, and the background would just be the same background going back and forth.
It's like an animation loop of the characters. And I wonder if they've gone away from it now because everything's CG, either it's 3D or it's 2D and done with, like, spline is the wrong word, but doing that kind of animation in computer where you're basically controlling the characters with a skeleton rather than with actual painting.
So most things have now gone, even if it looks 2D, it's 3D now. And they will definitely rig everything up to a specific, like you said, a skeleton of a person, and that person will move around. And even if it looks 2D, it's just that's how it's animated, is you'll see that 2D imaging.
That kind of animation style isn't really used anymore. Apart from, like, affectation of, like, this is how it used to be. And kind of, I wonder if it's used today as a kind of a mocking thing of they had no budget and they're trying to get quality, quantity over quality sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think that that's what they definitely do nowadays as well, is that they'll try and get quantity over quality generally when they use this type of style going forward. It feels like it's more a mockery. 100%.
That was kind of how it was done in a Community, because they had a Community episode where they were stuck in, like, this weird animation.
It was like a parody of G.I. Joe.
But it was parodying the animation style quite heavily, and they were bringing up everything and making fun of the medium and the repeated animations of clubbing people over the back of the head. And 3-4 times.
And we'll get to see a bit of that, I reckon.
And it definitely is a good example of how Scooby-Doo sets itself apart from your amazing animation. I'm really sorry. I know that we don't all love the giant corp, but Disney does an amazing job at animating, and there is no one that can fight me on that one, because it is just a fact. They created it. They should be good at it. And most recent animations that do come out in 2D form, initially they were doing something similar, right? Like, they were painting their backgrounds, they were trying to animate everything, and they used to animate, basically people would act out the entire frame, and then they would basically, animators would sit there drawing, and that's what they did with like Alice in Wonderland and stuff like that. They always had real life to kind of mimic from. But you can really see how they try to follow the laws, if I remember correctly, the animation laws, but they don't entirely get it in this sort of style. You don't get that fun squash and stretch unless it's needed to be in there, or if it's to over exaggerate a moment, like when they're like, oh no, Scoob, run, and then they run in one spot before eventually stretching and rubber banding off, sort of thing. They use that less to mimic life, more to mimic comedy, which I think is interesting how they use the laws instead to do that, instead of to give
to add
art.
Realism and weight to the movie.
Yeah. I'd be curious with this. I'm really curious to how I remember versus the earlier versions, but the ones that I used to watch had a laugh track as well.
It was like watching
an animated sitcom with the whole laugh track, and it's like, because people won't know when to laugh unless we actually, you know, like that old school TV show.
Okay, so apparently the last series was Scooby-Doo and Guess Who in 2021. Then there was a Velma TV series. Animated TV series 2023. And apparently Netflix are about to do a live-action series.
I wonder if the live-action series, because I was going to bring this up beforehand, there is a series that I watched on YouTube. I think it was only like an episode of or two. And it was
like a fan animation.
Really, really good. It wasn't even an animation. It was live-action. And it was them all at high school. And it mainly focused on Velma and Fred initially becoming friends and that sort of friendship and bond that they created. And it was really cool to watch. Mm. It felt young adult mystery gang. It was so good. Yeah.
I wasn't as big a fan of it. I feel like it was missing a lot of the comedy elements that created the charm behind Scooby-Doo. It felt more...
They're trying to make it Riverdale and they're taking the funny out of it.
That was
The moment they include Shaggy and Scooby, there's no choice, really.
I think...
They had included Shaggy and Scooby, and Shaggy and Scooby were really underwhelming characters because of the kind of...
Seriousness
of the... Yeah,
I think with what they were trying to do, they couldn't have added comedy with... It was taking itself very seriously.
They tried to make, the Scooby-Doo Shaggy story grittier and...
Gritty Scooby.
I'd like to see it as just a take on Scooby-Doo, because you've always got similar Scooby-Doo takes on it. I think that's what was so interesting about the movies, is they were similar, but it was a new, fresh take on it, and that's why I like them so much.
Kept the camp. Yes. You need the camp.
I do think it's though, like, America's lost its campiness.
Yes.
I sometimes think it's like a 9/11 thing where they have to be serious all the time since then.
Yes.
Because the world's horrible now.
You can't just have the campiness, you've got to have the gravitas with it. And it's like, sometimes you just don't need the gravitas. Sometimes you just want to have fun.
Okay, so talking about having fun, I guess we've got off.
It's been painted quite well within my mind by this conversation. So,
because there's how many people have not watched this before?
Me.
Wow. Three, four. Wow. Yep. This is
I've only watched the movie.
I think I even said
a little bit of the live action.
And I think I said to you, this is not a good indicator of the show.
Live action movies are fun though.
Oh no, the animated movie she watched. Oh, yeah. It was like a prequel of how Shaggy and Scooby met type of thing. And I went, this is not indicative of the show. You need to really watch the show. And she went, no, we're not doing that.
Maybe I'll mix it up and I'll bring Detective Conan in next month so we can compare this, which is silly and camp and a mystery thing, to another mystery thing.
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
Roughly the same era.
It's anime, so you're going to love it, Kenzie.
Okay.
Not like
we have to do this now.
Yep, we have to do it.
Okay, off we go to watch Scooby Doo.
Pew, pew, pew. Holy crap, that was the wrong cartoon.
Not the same era at all. It made like decades apart. So.
Where are you? Okay, so that was Scooby Doo. What do you think about that, Mackenzie?
That was good.
You enjoyed that?
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Jeanette? Did you enjoy that?
Yes, okay. I wouldn't watch anymore, but I'm glad I've seen it now.
You've seen it? Yeah, education complete.
Yes, that's right.
So what do you think, Angus?
Admittedly, it was kind of just exactly what I was expecting it to be. Yeah. The characters were a little bit different, Scooby and Shaggy weren't as cowardly... which was quite surprising.
15 years between that episode and when I watched it as a kid, Shaggy and Scooby got really flanderized. They were just stupid, they were cowardly, they'd run away, and all they'd want to do was eat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is he doing? He's making traps. He's discovering clues.
There's none of the high druggy reference or alluding to that at all in this. They're just...
This is the series that I remember. Wholeheartedly, this is the series I remember. Huh. I don't remember watching anything where they were getting super high and they were super cowardly or anything like that. So when that whole thing came around, I'm like, I guess maybe they were a bit more cowardly than the others, but I never really saw them like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
I was always so confused, so I guess now...
Yeah, it's the same series I remember too. I mean, I never really watched the Scrappy Years much at all. It was all this, and anything beyond that, to me, looks artificial and fake in some way. And the movies were, they're a different thing again, so...
What was interesting about this was... There was a laugh track, but no one laughed in the laugh track. You could hear a couple of background chuckles, but there was no actual laughter in the laugh track. It was this really
Mm. I didn't even realise there was a laugh track. It was just so... They really ramp it up.
I heard one or two moments where you could hear maybe three or four people going, and that was it. It was like so minor and understated. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. It may have been you guys, but I'm fairly sure it was coming from...
No, there was definitely a laugh track.
Yeah. What do you think?
I liked it. I've assumed it would be campier and more ridiculous than it was. I mean, there are points where it's silly, but it's not ridiculous over the top. Yeah, cause I'm also remembering, say, parody to death, the scenes where they'd go between doors.
Yes.
Yes.
And those kind of weird chase scenes. Yeah. And they did
have a few of those.
That does happen in this series. Yeah, yeah. It's just it wasn't this episode.
Yeah. And
so there are some where all they're doing is running around and there's a music track playing while they're running around.
Yeah. I think they just start back up the main theme tune or something.
No, it's a different song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was expecting a bit more ridiculousness or stuff where I couldn't take it seriously at all, but it's pretty cogent. I mean, there are points where it's like, this is ridiculous, why they're doing it, going around the castle in a specific way.
Yeah.
And point where Scooby and Shaggy were faffing around in that lab. But other than that, it's pretty straight and like, yeah, that actually would be how you behave in a situation. And there are obviously points of like the whole mummified, you know, Velma losing her glasses every episode.
Oh my God.
Did happen every episode. Yeah.
And like, oh, they're doing this bit, but it's like, oh, they're doing a bit because that's what they do in the series. Mm. But it didn't feel like they're doing it to be just ridiculous and enforcing it in where it doesn't belong.
I like that they just passed her another pair of glasses. Oh, you passed me my spare glasses because I need to have spare pairs of glasses.
Because
I lose them that often.
But so I thought it would be more ridiculous than that. And it wasn't.
I love that she went, oh my God, I've dropped my glasses. They must be somewhere around here. And then just crawls out of the room.
And then like, when she gets her glasses, she's like, why am I in this strange place?
Yeah. Her sight is... didn't know she crawled for 10 minutes through. Yeah.
And her sight's that bad that she initially cannot see the colour of the room.
And then she loses all motor control at the same time.
She's Mr. Magoo.
Yes.
Look, say what you will, but it is such a great way to go, oh, miss, I don't have my glasses, so I can't see the board, so I can't do my work. Because most people's understanding and awareness of people without glasses is you're just blind now.
Yeah.
I used to use that a lot in classes and stuff. I'd just be like, oh, no, I can't see, until this one teacher was like, okay, move to the front then. And I'm like, I still can't see.
I used to be the opposite. I used to get frustrated because people would assume that because I had glasses, I was like Velma, and as soon as my glasses were off, I was completely blind. It's like, no, I can see you. It's just fuzzy.
One thing that always amazed me about the series was its backdrop of rationalism. All the way through, they're saying, oh, there's no such thing as real vampires, and although they're seeing them and things like that, they're all kind of assuming that they're fake in some way, and finally they pull off the thing to show that this is actually fake.
Except in this particular episode, we didn't get that for the werewolf or Frankenstein's monster.
No, but the guy was a master of disguises, he was all of them.
Okay.
Yeah. He was just switching and changing disguises all the time.
Yeah, he's a master of disguises. Mm. But often there's only one monster, and they're chasing that one monster around.
And it's usually someone that they run into at the beginning of the episode. Mr. Carruthers that wants to shut down the carnival, and suddenly the carnival's haunted.
Old Man Winstein.
Yes. Well, that was the alternative one. This time it was the caretaker, next time it was the banker.
It wasn't the caretaker on this one. It was just some random person.
That's it. They did that in Wayne's World. They're talking to random people in the donut shop, and then it's like, oh, well, who could you be? And he rips off his mask, and they're like, Mr. Carruthers! And I would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for you kids. You know, like that. All of these tropes that come up
you pesky kids line comes from Enid Blyton.
Is that very much a famous five?
Well, it was originally going to be called the Mysterious Five or something like that.
Oh, of course, Scooby-Doo. Mm. Yeah, the kids and the dog. Mm. Yes.
Oh, that's
so there you go. Modernized
teenage version of Famous Five. I don't know the characters from Famous Five enough to know which one relates to which one.
But I always wanted to run a Call of Cthulhu, that's a role-playing game game in set in H.P. Lovecraft universe. Except at the end of the episode, the characters try to go to pull off the mask, and it's a real monster.
Oh, and they all need to make sanity checks.
Oh, make a sanity check.
I love it. And there's so many references. I was just thinking, like, Wayne's World, but then there's so many things that reference Scooby-Doo throughout the last, what, 50 years. Mm. We're watching it, and I had that, is it Fun Loving Criminal song back in the day? And it was a song that's like running around, robbing banks, all whacked out on Scooby snacks. You know, just, oh,
yes!
Running around, robbing banks, all whacked on my Scooby snacks.
Oh, great song. Yes. Great song.
And I had a CD from back in the mid-90s where all of these kind of alternative artists recorded versions of songs from Saturday morning cartoons. So it was like covers of like Josie and the Pussycats and the Banana Split Gang. And one of them was Matthew Sweet, who I'm sure you guys have never heard of, doing a cover of that version of Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
I've never heard that theme tune before, that version.
Wow!
There you go.
So it'd been kind of like modernised and tweaked and stuff when I watched it in the 80s. But the version that I had on the CD was that version.
Right.
We had to watch the original.
That was good.
Education. Okay, so I guess we're down to, there's the question of kids watching it these days.
Does it hold up, Kenzie?
Does it hold up, Mackenzie? Is it worth watching?
What?
Would you watch that again?
No.
No?
It does not hold up.
Not hold up?
Not even as a murder mystery.
So, for you, Mackenzie, why would you say that it doesn't hold up? What don't you like about it?
Because it's very repetitive.
It is repetitive.
Yeah, for sure.
In what way, though?
In the way that it's like, oh, we're going somewhere.
Monster chases.
Yeah, monster chase and everything. Velma loses glasses and then they remove a mask. Oh, no, it's this person. Oh, wow.
But that's only because we said that's what happens in every episode.
Yeah. No, but
yeah, that's what I mean.
But the actual episode in its purest form.
It's very it is formulaic.
Yeah, it is very formulaic.
And there was like 5-6 different chases.
And they all ended in a very similar way. They're trapped temporarily.
Yeah.
They escape because it's escaping.
Yeah.
And the repetitive nature isn't really what I think doesn't hold up today. The repetitive nature is charming and funny in its own way.
It is, yeah.
The first conversation we had was, oh, look, a gypsy van.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There's definitely elements that don't age well.
Yes.
I definitely think the repetitiveness, though, however, will impede younger audiences.
Yes,
I'm
for
also
sure.
wondering, because I haven't seen most of the other Hanna-Barbera stuff, but is this like the creme of the crop in terms of that kind of animation?
Oh, yeah.
When you think of good Hanna-Barbera.
So I'm thinking if we put on Yogi Bear or if we put on one of the ones that I don't even remember the name of, then it would be like watching paint dry compared to this.
No, not really.
They were all formulaic in their different ways.
They all had different formulas.
Yeah.
They had their set way of doing it, and then it just deviated slightly. Like Yogi Bear, it was like, he's stealing picnic baskets, he's finding devious ways to do it, he gets in trouble from the park ranger. Hijinks and Tue. They knew their bread and butter for each of the different shows, and then the trick was just to smash out as many as they could.
But this was certainly one of the big stars.
Yeah. This was for teenagers. Flintstones were for families. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Flintstones was prime time, I'm assuming.
There were lots of little shows, like we mentioned earlier, Harvey Birdman.
That was a Hanna-Barbera show that was kind of using those characters and stuff and then making fun of them, yes.
There was some prehistoric group that would go around with their big clubs.
Which I never watched that one.
Huckleberry Hound.
All of that stuff. There was ones, Josie and the Pussycats, Jabberjaw. There was one that I used to watch when I was a kid called, it was very Scooby-Doo, and that was, I think because Scooby-Doo worked, then they made all these different spin-offs. So Jabberjaw was a bit the same. They were fighting crime as well with a talking shark who lived outside of water. That was weird. And then there was another one called The Funky Phantom, which was a ghost of a dandy, flamboyant phantom that would help them solve crimes.
Yep.
And then they'd play music. But I think they were in a band as well, so they'd all play music. It was very much a thing of terror.
It's like,
saying it out loud.
Yeah, and I think it's like, wow, they had so much airtime they had to fill. Let's just make,
It was
what it was, filling airtime.
Quantity, not quality at times.
Yeah.
I had a friend that would describe it as chewing gum for the brain.
Yeah. I'm sure there's lots of shows like that these days that they say the same thing about. Yeah. Why can't we go back to the good old days? Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
And there's nothing wrong with chewing gum for the brain, though. Yeah, especially in... I would sit down and watch this again just if I needed to zone out and tune out and stuff. But
I love shows where I can just sit, and I've watched them so many times before, but they just make me feel... Well, comfort shows.
Yeah.
It's just finished Parks and Rec. And I don't think you liked it as much as Good Place by far, but, you know, that's a show I've probably watched 5 times all the way through.
Just everybody has those.
Yes.
You need them. You need them sometimes. You just need to put something on that makes you feel happy again. It's like... Mm-hmm. And you know exactly what's going to happen, so there's no anxiety about
that's it.
You know, exactly what to expect.
There's no tension.
I mean, my sister and I, we have Daria. We will always sit down and watch Daria. Yes. We used to watch it together.
I don't know. I still get nervous. Will Shaggy and Scooby make it out this time?
I never know. Ruh-roh, Shaggy. I can't do the voice.
Run! So what kind of food is this, Angus?
Oh, cracky.
There's only one food.
Yeah, it's got to be like a great big sandwich.
Mm-hmm. A great big sandwich?
Yeah, with like... Oh, your thing is Scooby Snacks. They're always eating sandwiches.
It is sandwiches.
They're always eating sandwiches.
And then it would be like those big Subway footlong type sandwiches or big triple decker ones like they had in this
Admittedly,
episode.
It's probably more along the line of hot dogs for this because there's not much nutrition there. It's just plain and it's in the classic American hot dog bun too. It's not like a Bunnings snag or anything worthwhile.
Worthwhile.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Hot dog sounds good to me. I mean, it's dog, you know.
Yeah.
Hot dog and Scooby Snacks.
Okay, I guess that was it. We've Scooby-Dooed out.
Maybe. I'm not going to suggest watching it tonight.
We're not going to watch the rest tonight?
No, we are not. No.
We're not going to binge the 17 seasons it has?
Yeah.
So... On a bit of a segue, I did bring this up earlier, but as a family, we've been watching the Star Wars movies.
Yes,
correct. We didn't say goodbye to the Scooby-Doo.
No, we didn't say goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
Use the one soundbite for both.
No. The end of that Scooby-Doo episode, it was like, we're basically done. Let's just shut this down. That's an ending.
But if we reuse the soundbite, that's very in character for Scooby-Doo.
That's true.
So goodbye all.
Bye.
Scooby-Doo. Where are you?
Oh my god, that's gonna throttle everyone.